Welcome back, Hockman, Crowder, and Solana. No Hockman, no Solana today. Appel in with Crowder. Jimmy's here. Dan Day is as well. Zach Gale will join us in a moment. Our sister station, Kiss Country, is bringing back Stars and Strings, featuring Dierks Bentley, Dasha, Nate Smith, Zach Top, Hudson Westbrook, and more at Hard Rock Live at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on November 6th. To win, text the word TOP to 20357. That's TOP to 20357. Tickets are on sale now at starsandstrings.com. Stars and Strings supports Folds of Honor. For more information, go to WQAM.com. This is a text contest. Message and data rates apply. And please don't text and drive. Zach Gelb, he hosts the Zach Gelb Show, heard nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Gelb, thanks for doing this on a day that Hockman is out, a day that Solana is out. Although, I do feel like Solana out makes it a little easier for you to join the show.
Honestly, just having Crowder here without the other two knuckleheads, they said, do you still want to do it? And I said, absolutely. This will be my favorite appearance ever. And I know that Channing Crowder is wearing a Florida Marlins hat, which is a little old school now. And let me tell you, that Channing Crowder is a big, big fan of the Marlins in baseball, I hear. Big fan. Knows the whole team.
I love Stores. Yeah, Gus Bus, Stowers. I love my guys.
Yeah, you guys Bender. Just picked the wrong guy on the Marlins. You forget that Matt Mervis guy, bum.
Homered again last night, by the way.
Yeah, in what, Triple A?
Uh-huh.
He's playing against 11-year-olds. Why do y'all keep talking about this Mervis guy?
Well, isn't it like a college football wide receiver this year who's like 40 years old or something like that?
Yeah, and he is a former Marlin, Monte Harrison. He was in the Christian Yelich trade. You think he's playing at Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah. Woo Good pig. Stuff. Wonderful.
Crowder's got a whole list of questions for Craig Mish in the 4 o'clock hour about the Marlins on the trade deadline. Don't kid yourself, Gelb.
Yeah, don't ask me any of those questions because I don't care.
let's see if you still feel the same way you did at the beginning of this interview after I gave you my lasagna take later on. But I want to start with some national NFL storylines, and the big one from the last couple of days. It's someone that South Florida fans know well, Christian Wilkins. We thought that the big layer to that story was just the injury issue and then Las Vegas waiving him and voiding that guaranteed money. Turns out there's a little bit more to the story. Christian Wilkins doing some Christian Wilkin things, I guess, in the locker room. And the story has been refuted by Mike Florio. Yeah, a little kiss on the forehead. I'd give Crowder a kiss on the forehead.
Or,
I think he'd appreciate it.
Or Channing. There was another report from that incarcerated Bob guy that he was tickling some toes. So... who knows what is actually the truth there? Channing, I think you would agree with this. They wanted him to get the other surgery. He didn't want to. So then they didn't want to pay him. It's a new regime in here. So they're trying to find anything to try to void the guarantees in the contract. It's just when they found something, who would have thought we'd be sitting here and talking about Christian Wilkins allegedly kissing a teammate on the forehead or maybe tickling a teammate on the toes. Now, you could go back to when he was in college and he stuck his hand somewhere that it did not belong, up against Ohio State or up against the Bills, where if the backside wasn't good enough, he did it from the front side, allegedly, up against Josh Allen. And now you're in one of these situations where it's like, okay, this is interesting. Channing, you know locker rooms. Obviously, yeah. The players in the locker room know what happened. This has to inevitably, like, the truth really get out, because I feel like we have about 65% of the story. We're missing some of it as well.
Yes. I've said this too, Gil. The injury where you get the second opinion and the second opinion doesn't go with the team's opinion. So now you have two doctors that are telling you opposite evaluations. That is 1A, 1B, 1C, 2A. 2B would be if you start kissing people and tickling dudes' toes and all that stuff. Like, you're not getting cut from being weird, because it's weird stuff. But I also said, too, about the situation, you got to read the room, Gail. You got to read the room. Like, the I don't know if people know what the crotch check is. When dudes are running, just pat the other guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pat the cup other check, guy and then the check. Crotch.
Who among
cup
us?
Check.
Who among
the
us?
Little cup check thing. So, yeah. Cup check's a thing. But, yeah, but I knew I brought up the names of, like, Kevin Carter, Vonnie Holiday, and Keith Trailer my rookie year, where you don't cup check Tractor Trailer because he's going to get mad and might stab you or shoot you if you hit him in his crotch. Mm-hmm. You got to know who you're playing with on, in those situations. So if Christian was going around doing, it's really the frat boy crap. That's not what gets you $32 million voided. You not having a surgery and now missing another season is why somebody voids your contract.
So when are we getting Christian Wilkins on the pivot? When are we getting the super serious interview with Ryan Clark and Christian Wilkins is my question, CC.
Well, if I'm sitting down, you know it's not going to be that serious because if you kiss me on my forehead, we're going to lock up too.
You'd probably be like, hey, I need a foot massage. Can you tickle these toes?
I like good verbal banter. I'm not a go touch me guy, you know.
Yeah.
Hawk, early in our showtime, Hawk touched my face for some reason. And I got pissed. And Hawk was like, oh, no, I'm just joking. I was like, man, don't touch my face. What the hell are you doing? Man, I don't know if it's cultural or not, but you don't touch some another man's face.
You know what they should do? They should have Rex Ryan. ESPN should have Rex Ryan interview Christian Wilkins. That'd be good. That would be real good.
It almost sounds like a bad would you rather. Would you rather get your toes tickled or a kiss on the forehead from Christian Wilkins?
I actually think the kissing on the forehead is probably the lesser of the worst. The tickling of the toes is like really crossing a line. Well, if you just give a, you know, someone a little smooch in the forehead, I think it's more sarcastic and in jest. The tickling of the toes, you're going down a path there where, yeah, I would file an HR complaint. No doubt about it. I don't know. You give me a little smooch in the forehead, you know, I may smack you in the face, but I don't know if I'm filing an HR complaint. Tickling the toes, definitely.
Especially unwanted. I'm not sure if you've discussed this with the guys in any of your previous appearances, but we were talking in the last segment. Crowder had just brought up Stephon Diggs and the Patriots, and I said that I'm not still buying New England just yet. I know a lot of people are high on Drake May in year two. Obviously, Mike Vrabel brings some more stability to that team. But what do you see in the Patriots this year? Are they the second best team in the AFC East? Because I feel like I still got to see it to believe it.
I think they're either going to be 8 or 9 or 9 and 8. And I think that will put them in position to be the second best team in the AFC East. I'm not in on Miami this year. There's just too much going on already with the injuries that have suffered. But even before then, it feels like the Tyreek Hill situation is just a ticking time bomb. And even though he tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube, he'll be a petulant human being once again at some point this year when it's not going his way. And I still have the Jets as the fourth team in that division. The thing with the Patriots, it's like, do I think they're ready to take that next step? I would say no, even though they made improvements this past year. But you look at their schedule. I think like the only tough games are the two games against Buffalo. They play Cincinnati and they play the Ravens when you look at the entire docket. Now, I'm not saying all those other games are definitely going to win. They could just as easily as they win them could lose them. And they've struggled with Miami, ever since Brady has left. And even when Brady was there, they never won really in South Florida. But I look at the Pats and with Vrabel being there, I think Vrabel will find a way to coach that team up into the second best team in the AFC East compared to a Mike McDaniels on the hot seat and Aaron Glenn, who's in year number one.
And the overall AFC, Gil, because we were looking at some gambling odds to win the AFC and actually to win the Super Bowl. And the Ravens and the Bills were ahead of Kansas City. Are we writing off Kansas City right now? Like,
again,
I don't see the Ravens and the Bills just flat out being better than Kansas City.
So until someone takes out Kansas City in the AFC when it matters, how many more years are we going to do this where we sit there and we go, oh, they're vulnerable. They've been vulnerable the last few years. And the last 3 years, last time I checked, they've been to the last three Super Bowls and they've won 2 out of 3. So they could be vulnerable. And Lamar Jackson has to beat Allen. And they may not always play each other, but Lamar Jackson has struggled against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Josh Allen, it's just been a Patrick Mahomes problem, and he's played well in those games, but his team just dribbles down their leg in a big spot over and over again anytime those two teams are in a marquee game.
Gelb, I want to switch from football to baseball. Aside from the trade deadline tomorrow, the two biggest stories this week were, number one of the faces of the game, Bryce Harper, getting in the face of Rob Manfred in the Phillies clubhouse, telling him to F off. And number two, the second pitcher for the Cleveland Guardians being investigated for potential gambling violations, if you would call it that. What do you make, first off, of Bryce Harper and Rob Manfred and their confrontation? We had Kyle Seeloff, the Marlins television voice, on with us yesterday, and he thinks, number one, it doesn't bode well for the 2027 season and actually having one when it comes to CBA negotiations. And number two, he thinks it's a bit tone deaf from a guy like Bryce Harper, who's one of the handful of guys in the league that makes north of $400 million, where he's arguing on behalf of something that benefits that top 1% or less than 1% of the league, and is to the detriment of everybody else. So what do you make of that whole situation?
I love what Bryce Harper did, but I also kind of wish we could have, A, seen it, but then, two, if we were able to really see it, have him ask a question to Rob Manfred, which would be like, oh, you want to do a salary cap? Well, how about a salary floor for all those owners that basically just sit at the table with alligator arms and don't actually pay the players and run out these despicable products? Because I know Rob Manfred would just stumble through that answer, because he is basically just working for the owners. But to try to hear him actually give an answer in front of the players and try to dance around the topic, I thought that would have been fascinating. I don't think there should be a salary cap in baseball, but if you're going to issue one, you need to issue a legitimate salary floor. And I would wonder how many owners would be open to that. I would gather that most of them would not. Now, as far as the gambling stuff, this is going to happen from time to time. I know some people say, oh, well, the leagues are in bed with all these gambling companies. So this way, like, hey, my job tells me there's some things I can't do that people are, that other people are allowed to do. The reality of the situation is you can't be a player betting on, your own sport and your games that you're in, because it compromises the integrity of the game. So I will say, though, it's interesting how quickly Major League Baseball came out when you had that Ipe Mezuhara, Shohei Ohtani thing. Oh, Ohtani, we found nothing here. He's all good. He's cleared. But the first guy that got popped in this from the Guardians, we're still waiting on, and I'm sure we won't get any updates on Emmanuel Class A anytime soon.
In fairness, though, there was an entire federal investigation into...
I understand, but if my best friend was taking that money out of my bank account, and I know he's really rich and that money probably didn't matter, I'm not saying that Ohtani was definitely gambling, but to have that all quickly wrapped up that soon on Major League's baseball part, it's just peculiar to me, is what I will say.
And back to the Bryce Harper thing and the salary cap and all that.
Channing, you ever bet on a football game, by the way, when you're playing?
No, but everybody I know has bet my unders. They knew I wasn't going to do
that. I actually bet you're over on missed tackles.
Yeah, Crowder 9.5. Yeah.
Hey, whatever tight end the Dolphins are going up with against that day, take the over receptions, over in yards.
Oh, 3.5 knee injuries during the game. He's going to go out 3.5 times. Yeah, I'll take the over.
But the whole thing we've been talking about, the Bryce Harper thing kind of brought up that CBA type stuff. The parody of it, like, because now you're crippling the Steinbrenners, you're crippling the Mark Walter who owns the Dodgers. Like, is it like that? Everybody wants this parody with sports. I don't know if baseball needs parody. Do we need to even the teams out? Do we need the Tampa Bay Rays to have the same salary as the New York Yankees? I don't know if baseball is built that way.
No, and here's the thing. Even if you do put in a salary cap, the Rays are going to come nowhere close to actually spending to the max. That's why I look at the floor and I'm saying, okay, if all these owners want to limit the spending and they want to cap the spending, well, then you guys actually have to spend a decent amount and not just get what you want, which is lowering the cost of the contracts and putting a cap on it. You also have to up that pay a little bit on the minimum that you have to spend to me. That's what I would say. And I know a lot of those owners are cheap, and even though they make a lot of money and they cried poverty during the pandemic, that's why I have zero sympathy for any of these guys. So I'm going to take the player's side here, and I'm team Bryce Harper on this one.
I don't know if you knew this, Gil. Sandy Alcantara makes $17 million a year. The next highest paid Marlin makes $4 million.
Oy.
There's guys on the Yankees that make $60 million. Like, it's crazy the difference in his MLB contracts team to team.
Yeah, it is definitely bonkers. And when you look at some of these markets, like, I forget the team that it's like their payroll is like $40 million. And it's like some of these players, right, in New York and LA, they make that in a season, you know? So it's just, it's wild.
Zach Gelb of Infinity Sports Network joining us now. We got a couple more before we let you go. Has Zach Gelb ever clapped at the end of a movie at the movie theater?
I don't think so. I don't really clap on airplanes or at the end of a movie? If I was at a play, yes. At a movie, I don't think so.
Right, because you're clapping at a screen and the actors don't hear you.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it that way, but I'm sure that's probably a thought process. Like, who is receiving, you know, the praise that I'm giving?
Well, you are on the right side of history when it comes to clapping at the end of a movie. Yeah. We were debating that earlier. Jimmy said he was a huge clapper, and Solana claps and gives a standing ovation at the end of every movie he sees in the theater.
Appel also a big clapper. That's why he's going to have a kid coming up in a few months, right?
Hey, big Appel. He figured that thing out, Gelby.
He was like Shaq at the free throw line. Miss, miss, miss. Oh, I finally got one.
All you got to do is go 1 for 10, baby.
Let me go Rick Barry underhand.
Hey, whatever gets the job done, you know?
That's my way of saying congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate it. Mara in the other room over also heard that, and she says thank you too. I heard her say, "Oh,
yes,
yeah." You can still practice now, even when she's pregnant. You can practice.
She's gonna bring a sledgehammer to the next time I see a Appel for dinner.
Last thing for you here. Yesterday was National Lasagna Day, and there's a war.
I thought yesterday was National Chicken Wing Day.
There's both.
Oh. Both.
It was both.
Wow, that is Zach Gelb's day, let me tell you.
With boneless wings and some plain buttered penne pasta. That would be my lasagna and chicken wing day. And from the looks of it.
Yeah, you're a little boy.
I mean.
Child. Chicken nuggets and buttered pasta.
It is indisputable that a piping hot bowl of plain penne pasta with butter is better than any lasagna anywhere.
That's the dumbest take I've ever heard.
Why?
Yeah, because it's just stupid. Like, it doesn't even deserve my response. You know what? I was out last night with my lady, and we were out with another couple, and it came up how I do lasagna on Thanksgiving instead of turkey. And the other couple's response at first was like, wait, what? And then they go, you know what? Turkey actually sucks. Lasagna is actually great. You guys do Thanksgiving right. And also, You little boy there, Josh Appel, with your dino nuggets, eat wings with a bone in them like a man and smother them with blue cheese, you child.
Oh,
you're about to be a parent. I don't care how you live the rest of your life. It's been embarrassing. You have a kid on the way. You need to set a good example. Lasagna and bone-in wings with blue cheese. Be a man.
We were joking that when he's 2 years old, he's going to have a better palate than I do at 31, 32, 33. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, have him come spend the weekend with Uncle Zach. That kid will come on back eating like escargot. All right?
Man.
Listen.
He's not still eating. He eats Go-Gurts and applesauce and stuff. He is a child.
I can't wait to share a Go-Gurt with my child.
You know his son's name?
No.
Channing Appel.
No. And you are not the father.
If I keep saying it, then I'm going to just put it in the back of his mind subconsciously.
It flows like Alejandro Appel, no. Mark Appel, yeah, a little bit. But Channing Appel, Jimmy Appel sounds decent. But Channing Appel, I think, has a different level of sophistication.
Yeah, I mean, look, as a president.
He's been lobbying hard, and it's certainly in the conversation of what we're going to name our child. So it's definitely definitely not outside of the top five. Put it that way.
Hey, talk to the wife and all, Gelby. I think I'm in there.
Yeah, I think you're good. I think you are good, Channing.
They had a great heart-to-heart at Funky Buddha last month about this very topic, and she seemed open to the idea, just shockingly.
It was open.
Oh,
just
God.
Saying what that there is a story on the internet about Steve Nash and his family and his kid and an ex-teammate, you know.
All right.
Have a good one. I got to go do my show.
Go enjoy a plain bowl of buttered penne pasta. And tell me how it is next week. Zach Gelb, thanks so much for being with us. Back with more Hawk and Crowder and Solana after this.